Welcome back to The Thinking Tree, a podcast to help believers renew their minds and reform their hearts. I'm Adam Sanchez.
And I'm Jeff No.
And today we are talking about a biblical view of work and labor. All right, here we go. Another unique summer episode on The Thinking Tree.
And by the way, labor, not having a baby.
I was wondering if we needed to clarify that, but you're answering the question. Yes. We're clarifying that. Not babies, working labor.
Yes.
Yes, working labor.
Yeah, really important topic.
This is one that's huge, especially for students when they're graduating, when they're ending their scholastic career.
And they're adulting.
Adulting, having to, you know, embrace bills and rent and all those things.
Yes.
Insurance, phones, all that.
I just had a student who just graduated say to me, "Hey, do I get a summer off?" No.
Was it everything in you to not laugh out loud?
Well, no, I think I said something like, I'm on my 40th straight year of not having a summer break.
Not having a summer break, yeah. Right. Or a winter one for that matter.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So that's real.
Yeah, right.
So I think it is a thing. A biblical view of work and labor is necessary. Sometimes I think we take it for granted that it's in our culture to work.
Yeah.
It's in our culture to labor. I don't know if we always approach it biblically.
No, it's a purely practical. I've got bills to pay,
right?
Or I'm building a career, but we don't really think in terms of, well, yeah, what does God have to say about this?
Right.
And we should, because right out of the gate in the Bible, God works.
That's the thing. That's right? The thing.
So it's a foundational part of life on earth.
So hold on. Are you saying that work?
Yeah.
Was something that occurred before the fall of man into sin?
Yeah, I think it was.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually rooted in creation.
Now, it's interesting. You're not even going to Adam working the ground.
Well, that's next.
That's next, yeah, right, but you're focusing first on who is the one who instituted work, and it's God.
Yeah, right.
God is the initiator of work and of labor. Mm-hmm. I think the grace of that is, aren't we supposed to imitate him?
We are created in his image, right?
With created in
communicable
his image,
attributes.
Yeah. And we're intended to follow after him in the ways that we can.
Right. Right. Yeah. And we're given the stewardship responsibility right out of the gate to steward the earth, take care of it.
And the curse in Genesis 3 is not that work is evil.
Right.
But that the ground won't yield
like
it did before the curse.
Thorns and thistles.
Right. It'll be hard by the sweat of your brow.
Yes, right.
Exactly. Is what's said.
Which is basically my backyard.
Which is, this is why you love gardening. It's your embracing of, I'm a fallen creature under God's authority.
There's something to it, man. Putting your hands in the dirt, it's just that my soil is so bad. So anyway.
Welcome to Castaic.
Thorns and thistles, right. Yeah. Castaic, yes.
Yeah. I think that's an important point to bring to bear. Creation order, God first works. Mm-hmm. He's the example.
Right.
And he brings things into being as the creator. And then he hands off, you mentioned stewardship, right? The nature of a steward is being given something that is not his.
Right.
You know, some people remember the steward of Gondor.
Oh, right?
And
nice.
Lord of the Rings.
Good
Lord
there.
Of the Rings call back there.
Yeah.
Right. The steward is not the king.
Right.
He's taking care of something for the king.
And he's accountable.
Correct to the king. And so that stewardship is given to Adam, or the first man in the garden, to care for what God had created. Mm-hmm. And that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. Working the ground and the land was a good thing.
Yeah.
And then only because of the fall was it given a hardship.
Right.
But work wasn't eliminated, nor was work the issue at play.
Right.
Adam's sin, man's sin was the issue at play.
Right.
And then work would be harder. That was the nature of it.
The work gave him purpose.
And that was why he existed.
Right. And so I know we'll probably get into this, but that's still around. This idea of having purpose is still connected to the work that we do.
Mm.
And that's one of the ways that we can, by focusing on working in a way that glorifies God, it can be extremely meaningful.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Focusing on glorifying
God. I probably
God
just jumped ahead. Didn't
in
I?
Our work. Why don't you dig into that? Well, because I think it's important before, and I do think it's important to jump in, because before talking about what are our weaknesses or what are the frailties that we bring to it, it's really setting the stage. Like, what does it look like when we're considering a proper theology, or if I'm just thinking, how do I consider work as a believer?
Yeah.
Why does that issue of purpose matter? Why does it matter the way that I think about work?
Well, again, I think it is hardwired into us. So yes, the fall happens, but there's still so many things in us and a part of us inherently that is sort of like callback to prior to the fall, to like, this is the way God originally designed us. And we keep coming back to that idea of all these things that are built into me, why do I react to things? Why do I feel this way? Well, because we were designed that way in the image of God. So I think work is one of those things. So we're searching for meaning in work. Why do we want to build careers? For me, it's way more than just a paycheck. Mm-hmm. There's purpose to it. There is the chance for me to invest in my time, energy, resources into something and build. There's something inherently good and beautiful about building something that has meaning, that impacts other lives. I think all of these things are sort of built into what God has given to us. And the problem is sin, the fall, affected all of it. Mm-hmm. And so now, if we're not careful to think biblically, we'll fall into this almost despair of, oh, I got to go to work, right? And that is a decision of the mind, a decision of the will to say, no, this is just about, I got bills to pay. Go back to the way you were designed. Go back to the way God hardwired you to find purpose in this, to glorify him in this, to literally, and then I know we've been talking recently in Titus about the workplace is one of our primary missionary places. So,
right.
So taking what God has given you, whatever he's given you in terms of work, and starting to build that platform for evangelism.
Right.
So there's all kinds of ways that you've probably heard me say this before. I like to work. I'm a fan of work. If I were to retire.
Okay, sure.
I'm still going to go work.
Yeah.
If I retire from ministry, I'm going to go be a greeter at Walmart. I will be the best greeter at Walmart that they've ever had.
Amen.
Because I want to glorify God, and I want to talk to people.
Presentation
exactly
with them,
right.
Show them where they are in Santa Clarita.
Right. No, but you know what I mean. Like, so I'm going to greet people and look for opportunities to share Christ. I'm going to build up my fellow employees. People are going to walk away going, there's something special about that guy.
Yeah,
he's just a greeter, but he's really good at it. He's really gifted in that area. All I'm saying is that you can find so much meaning in work if you have your mind focused on the big picture.
I think that's the critical point that we have to start with.
Yeah.
Who are we working unto?
Right.
Right. Because you could be a Walmart greeter and you could have great purpose in serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be a day trader for stocks and bonds and serve the Lord.
Right.
And you could be a NASA engineer and serve the Lord, and you can be a school teacher.
Right.
And so there, it's not that the vocation in and of itself defines you.
Right.
It's your identity in Christ that defines you. And so then the approach to work that we have, it's going to look different.
Yeah, it changes.
It's going to look different because we recognize who we're serving.
Right.
And so there could be seasons of life where we may not be loving the actual job itself. It may be like, oh, that job's not my favorite job ever.
I've had a lot of those.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But you do it unto the Lord. And over time you learn how to be grateful.
Right.
How to be thankful for what work provides, an ability to provide for self and for family, an opportunity to learn a skill, to grow in that, to get people skills as well, to work with others, opportunities to bring the gospel to bear, to be a model Christian, not a perfect one, but a faithful one.
Right.
So many things that work can bring. And it's good for us to not be idle.
Correct. Well, there's all these New Testament words like diligence, right? Yeah. Like, Colossians 3 talks about work heartily.
Yes.
Right? There's this idea of putting in the how do I say it? Again, it comes back to building something. I can always get better at something. Like I want to strive. There's another great biblical word.
Yeah.
Strive. Be diligent to do this unto God's glory and for the good of other people, and to constantly get better at it.
Yeah.
Where is the value in just living in neutral? Where's the value of of drudgery, of going and just clocking in and clocking out, when you could make a decision to choose the joy in it and say, how can I get a little bit better for God's glory and for the good of other people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys, pick a path here.
Right? Could you be the best janitor?
Yes. Right. And so why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just to me, it just seems so obvious. And yet I see so many people struggling with this. I hate my job.
Yeah.
Well, then go make your job better.
I think there's a lie that we've been told
in our
culture. And I think it's permeated to our school system, in terms, even higher education, where there's a sense of self-worth in the jobs that we undertake. And that if it's not something that I chose, that I wanted to do,
right,
then it's somehow not worth my time.
Right. It didn't fulfill me. It doesn't, it's not everything I ever wanted it to be.
Right.
Like, come on. Yeah, grow up. We don't all get to become a pop star or the, you know, starting shortstop for the Dodgers.
Right. Which is right now, who's a starter right now?
Mookie Betts is playing a lot of short.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we don't all get to be Mookie. That's all I was looking for is the one liner.
We all had that dream, but come on, man. The Lord gave you an opportunity to go work, so go work.
Yeah.
Do it well. Just do it well.
Right. Yeah, that principle of just serving heartily unto the Lord and not trying to make a name for oneself, but really trying to make a name for the Lord.
Yeah.
I think that's what's missing a lot of times.
Right.
I think that's something that's missing even in higher ed.
It's
not just like a Christian college thing. I think it's just a thing in our culture.
Yeah.
I think, you know, parents, we can put that on kids and, you know, like at every layer, I think kids can be pressured. Young people can be pressured thinking you got to have your plan and you got to have everything figured out by the time you're in junior high.
Right.
And then you're on that pathway of success,
right,
you know, for your whole life. I don't know many people who have gotten to do what they wanted to be in junior high,
right,
let alone are doing what they wanted to do when they started college.
Right.
Because things change.
Right.
Doors
open and doors close.
People get married and life changes. They have kids and life changes. You move and life changes.
Yeah.
And so you don't really know what you're going to be, but what you're pursuing in work should be with the heart of a faithful Christian.
Right.
That says work is good. It was instituted pre-fall. This is something that God has modeled for me. And so I should be thankful for it. All of what you're describing is that principle of taking the thoughts captive.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's a lot of lies that we can believe about work, about even about vocation, even about that dangerous word calling.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw it out there because it's sometimes thrown out with purpose.
Yeah.
Right. That I think it can be dangerous when we try to attribute an absolute to it. There's one calling to be a Christian.
Right.
And then there are various components of that in terms of how we're serving the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we get kind of thrown off the course on that one. But there's even nuance there with affirmation, you know, for certain roles, different things. But to not derail from there, I think that choosing joy in work, that's hard.
Hmm.
I think that's hard when you have a job you may not like.
Well, yeah. And then you have bad bosses.
Yeah, the people.
There's people. And you have customers that yell at you.
Yeah.
And you have coworkers that aren't always pleasant. And so how do you respond to that? Well, if you're thinking biblically, you're going to respond one way. If you're thinking just purely practically, you're going to be miserable.
So before we get off of that, that exact thing right there, I want to just prod the listener for a second. When you pose that question, like, what do we do?
Right.
What do we do when we have that? The question that comes to my mind is, well, what would you do with a family?
Mm.
And then I can imagine the response would be, well, but it's not my family, it's my work.
Right.
And I would say, but what principle from God's word is applicable in both?
Right.
Because, you don't choose your workplace in the same, or your family in the same way you choose your workplace, potentially. Right. Potentially it's given to you, you know, job search, whatever. But I think the principles of choosing joy and how you approach it also matter, because how many of us have family that everyone is just perfect, awesome, and gets along all the time? I know too many families that there are, you know, disunities. There are, you know, certain, we don't talk about that with this person, and, you know, this person over here, they can't be together at the same place. So many things in family drama that pop up.
Right.
And we navigate all of that. But when it comes to jobs, I do think that we're, in our culture today, a lot softer.
We get angry and petty, and we gossip and we have show contempt towards people, all the things that we're told in scripture not to do, but we excuse it away because it's work. See, that's the thing. You're not thinking biblically anymore.
Yeah.
Rather than the fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, you know, gentleness, self-control, those things. Mm-hmm. How can I show those things to people that aren't pleasant?
Right.
That's called maturing in the faith.
Yeah.
So
it's hard.
It is hard, right? But if it doesn't even dawn on you that you should be doing that, then there's a disconnect. You need to completely rethink your doctrine of work and labor. So
I would say I think all of us should recapture that one.
Yeah.
Why do we work? Why do we labor?
Yeah.
Because we could focus all of this on, let's even say in like a married couple, on the man who goes out to work every single day. But could we also then look at the mother who is laboring at home with the children? And that is work.
Yeah. Big time.
It is labor, hard labor. And I think the same principle applies. Yeah. What is this to an end of?
Right.
Are we just doing this because the kids got to eat? Because if we're just feeding bellies,
yeah,
like mothers, and I don't mean this in any rude way. I pray this is a great encouragement to moms, that if moms are just feeding bellies and they're not caring about their children's souls,
right,
then that doesn't get them any further.
Right.
What we want as biblical believers, we want to see our kids come to worship the Savior.
Right.
We can't force it. We can't make people believe, but by golly, should we be working to that end to see every opportunity that child can hear the gospel and have an opportunity to respond? Should we have that same approach with our friends at work?
Right.
Where we say, you know what? They may be really far from the Lord.
Yeah.
They may be walking in a very unrepentant way. They may not want to hear from me at all, but how can I be as winsome as Jesus with the woman at the well in John chapter 4 to draw out the heart so that we can talk about some of these real things?
Yeah. Yeah, to be salt and light. And there's so much opportunity in the workplace when, especially if you're at a place where it feels drudgery. Like, I mean, I've had jobs like that where you walk in and everybody's miserable.
Mm.
Be the light, man.
Yeah.
Walk in and walk in whistling.
Yeah.
Right? You know, make people go, what is wrong with you?
Bring that Shekinah glory through the front doors, right?
Make them ask, what is the deal with you?
Yeah.
You know, that's how we change hearts. That's how we get people. That's like we've been talking about in Tithes, building that platform to share the gospel. Yeah. Someone's going to ask at some point.
Yeah. That's reality.
And if they don't, keep doing it anyway, because God's got some purpose in it for you.
So. Right. You're going to learn through it. Others may see.
And here, by the way, here's the other part. It blesses you too. Just to walk through life with the joy of the Lord blesses you as much as it blesses other people. Cause you do have a choice to be a miserable wretch.
Ooh. Ooh, I'm gonna quote you on that.
Just to be grumpy all the time. Why?
Yeah, yeah.
Be who you are, child of the King, a redeemed person that's going to heaven someday. Why would you? I don't know, man. It frustrates me sometimes. Can you tell?
I can. Like, yeah.
Choose joy, man.
But I don't think I want to add anything to that. I like where this is landing. On that. Work is
come,
good.
Jeff at OakHillBible.com. When you're mad at me now for. I mean, I do have a great job. That helps me.
That's the thing, right? Yeah.
I have a great job.
You love what you do. I love what I do. And I'm very thankful to the Lord. There have been hard seasons, though, where it's not been as easy, even in ministry, right? There are hard times in ministry, too. But when our focus is on serving the Lord and not on either what we're getting or not getting or what we think we deserve or what we're owed, and those are typically the things that I hear when people are talking about their jobs. You know, I didn't get this raise or they didn't give me this. And I understand, you know, labor is worth his wages. I think those of us who work within the church context, like we feel that pain a little bit more even.
Yeah.
Just the reality of that because we're not trying to make wealth out of serving God.
Mm.
And that should be the heart of those who serve in ministry. So there's that dynamic there. But those struggles are real. I think the encouragement is well received.
Yeah.
Choose joy in what you're doing. Recognize that you're serving the King. Look for gospel opportunities. Be a representative of Christ in what you're doing. If that's the nature of your disposition, whether you're a doctor or whether you're a janitor, whether you're a Walmart greeter, whether you're a heart surgeon, like in all things, honor the Lord.
Right.
Man, that we need more believers out there in the workforce who are plumbers and roofers and electricians, blue collar guys who are bringing the gospel. We need more moms who are focused on bringing the gospel in the little moments of the day and not just helping their kids survive, but helping them to know Christ and just modeling faithfulness. We need more families that are talking about Jesus around the dinner table. Like that's what's really needed, is more just faithful day in and day out.
Right.
Christians.
Steady.
And the more that we can encourage that. Amen.
Yep. Well done,
man.
Find satisfaction in your toil, said the teacher. Ecclesiastes
3. We're going to let you close it out on that right there.
I was waiting for you to bring up Ecclesiastes.
It was two on the nose.
Right? Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, we pray this episode has helped you to renew your minds and encourage your hearts. We'll catch you next time on The Thinking Tree.